Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, this is your spoiler warning. Don't listen to this episode of the podcast if you plan on watching American Ultra and you don't want the ending spoiled, because we tell you everything. Also, just don't watch American Ultra.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
Little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello, everybody. It's me. Welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week, myself and my friend Zach, we watch a John Leguizamo film and then we chat about it afterwards. That's the intro, I guess. I'm Mish Witrup. You might know me from four mini episodes released previous to this one, and also a pilot episode. Wasn't that fun? I'm joined, as always, by my friend, very, very funny, very, very nice, lovely, articulate human being, Zachary Ruane, who you might know from
playing Charles Xavier in 2000's X-Men.
Wow.
Everyone thought it was the guy from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Patrick Stewart?
Yeah. I don't even know his name. I'll tell you why I don't know his name. Why? I couldn't think of his name because I've never worked with him because I'm in all those films.
Is it? I don't want to sound like an idiot though, but is it Patrick Stewart? Ian McKellen's best friend.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart.
Bald.
For some reason,
bald,
I'm just
old British
Patrick
guy.
Swayze. That's all I can think of.
He's dead.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Remember when he played a... You know what? In Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Dark.
That's dark. That movie reminds me of you because it was your favourite movie when you were younger and angsty.
It's a lot of people's favourite movie when they were younger and angsty. Do you know the funny thing? I'm on TikTok now. I'm not posting on TikTok yet, but I'm just on it because that's where all the best memes are.
Mm.
I follow Hank Green.
Yeah.
It took me 20 years to finally discover Hank Green. He does fun little science facts.
Oh, that's cool.
There's occasionally just references to Skins, the TV show Skins, which just tickles me because there's this sense of like they're watching Skins, the children are watching Skins like we would have watched maybe Heathers or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? They're like,
absolutely.
Have you seen Skins? It's so 2008, but it's really good.
Yeah. And the first two seasons of Skins were very good.
Hey, I'm even going to throw a bone to season three as well.
I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't. The only good thing about the second generation of Skins cast, so the season three and four, is the final scene of season four with Cook. But I kind of got a Woody for that, though.
Yeah.
A little bit. Can I just say as well, Donnie Darko, you just said it was a lot of people's favourite movies in high school. I think that mine, being Girl Interrupted, is the private school girl equivalent of Donnie Darko. If you went to a private girl's school, you might not have loved Donnie Darko, but guaranteed Girl Interrupted made you feel
because it's about a privileged young lady who just isn't happy.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of kind of like, oh my god, that's so relatable. When it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, like I want to, you know. Yeah,
I thought I was Winona Ryder in that film. I was just like, oh my god, that's me. But it's like, it's not at all. You fucking psycho. But, yeah, I just remember loving that movie and thinking it was like such an interesting answer to the question, "What is your favorite movie?" It's Girl Interrupted, actually.
That's part of the problem for me with Donnie Darko. Like, I think Donnie Darko is still a great film, but I can't see it. Well, I don't know, because all I see is just me being like, actually, it's brilliant, and actually, it's about space-time. You actually have to go on the website to understand the full plot, actually. It's actually about this.
And one of those fuckheads who would make a 45-minute YouTube video explaining Donnie Darko. Hey, what's up, guys? You might not have actually understood Donnie Darko, but that's what I'm here for. I'm here to explain to you what Donnie Darko is about with three simple steps.
Actually, it does have a plot.
Yeah. But it's okay, guys. I don't blame you. It is pretty complex, and I just happen to be really into this stuff. So join me, everybody. Also, sign up to Audible. Use my code. Use my code. audible.com/ZachReviews.
We should say, Mish, break's over. So if you've been listening to the old pods, we banked a couple of pods where we talked about his interviews.
Yes.
We then released a pilot episode where we talked about him playing a racist rat character.
Yes.
And now we're back in the studio. Not only are we back doing pods together, we're back in the studio, which we did do for those banked ones, but it's a rare treat. Most of this podcast has been over Zoom.
Yeah, it's true.
Has been tough. It's been a challenge.
Absolutely, especially when we brought in guests. As soon as you bring in a third Zoomer with a microphone, it goes to shit.
I wanted to do a tweet. You know when you have an idea for a tweet and you're like, oh, that's really good, but you can never find the right wording so you don't do it?
Oh, like that's literally my Twitter career.
Yeah. And the perfect tweet is not the way to succeed on Twitter. The way to succeed on Twitter is just to tweet a lot.
Yeah.
But I had this tweet in my head, which was like something along the lines of 2020 – I think will be remembered for, and the implication being one of the big things, but 2020 will be remembered as the year of podcasters saying, oh, no, you go.
Yeah, a lot of this sound.
You go. Sorry.
No, you go. Sorry.
The 1 second delay. My goodness.
Oh, sorry. Just really quickly, 1 second. I just want to say really quickly on that last point. Okay, now you go.
Like, and then, like, making a point and then just charging through and just occasionally the other person going,
Do you think now that you're physically in my presence, would you say that there's anything that's changed about me physically since the last time we saw each other?
No.
Okay.
Is your hair...
No, nothing's changed. I just thought I should ask.
No.
Okay. You trimmed your beard.
I trimmed my beard this morning, yeah.
It looks really sharp.
Thank you. So I did it myself.
That's good.
That's one thing I got out of ISO is I've become a better cook and I trim my own beard.
That's so good.
Because here's the thing. Barbering, being a barber, is, I think, a very specific, very difficult skill if you're good at it.
Yes.
A lot of hipster cunts just do a four
like a
all
hack
over,
job, yeah.
Do a three and a half all over. And I had a moment in ISO where I did it myself and it's fine. It's not like really schmicko, but it's fine to the level that I used to pay $35 to a hipster to do. And it's like, so now I'm like, I reckon for like events and things like that, I'll go to a barber to do my beard. For something nice, but that's I can do it myself.
I'm really proud of you. That's really good. Speaking of beards, I have just this second found a hair coming out of my chin that is the length of a small boy.
Oh my goodness!
And I can't get it. It's real in there.
I wish Deborah Lee Furness was in this movie because then we could have made that a segue.
To what?
Speaking of beards.
There is no segue into this one.
She's not. Did you have a nice little break?
I did have a very nice little break. I didn't get much of a holiday or anything like that because I'm now a mum.
Yes.
There was a moment there where Zach looked at me like genuinely puzzled. No, I am now a mother.
You've got a dog baby.
I have a dog baby, otherwise known as a puppy.
A baby dog.
A Dog baby. I did.
A dog woman gave birth to a dog baby.
And my human adult self adopted said dog baby. Mm. And I've been with him now since Boxing Day. And everything feels like one big blobby day. There was a period of time in there where I didn't know the time of day. I didn't know the day of the week. I was so tired.
It's getting
a lot better now. He's doing very well and I'm completely obsessed with him. I'm so fucking committed to this. I'm going to keep this fucking dog alive. I'm going to do it.
I'm looking after a dog at the moment. It's not my dog, but I'm looking after a dog at the moment for a comparable amount of time as Mish has been doing.
Zach is fostering a dog at the moment.
And we often call each other and just like, okay, bye. Like it's like an hour of
There was a point in time, particularly the first maybe 2 weeks after I got him, where anyone who would call me, all I could talk about was the dog and not well. As in like it would just be like, Stanley, wheeze. Sleepy Stanley bites Zach, and I'm Wish pulling on the lead and sometimes happy, but
and a lot of like, what if he bite forever?
Yeah.
What if he bite forever? And I'm like, have you trained him not to bite? You're like, no, but what if he bite forever? And then like maybe you do some training and you call up and you're like, he still bite, but we see hope. Hope he not bite forever. And then you'll call the next day and be like, what if he bite forever?
Stanley's my puppy's name. It would be very much like, Stanley did bite not for long. I teach.
Little bite.
I teach no.
Little bite.
I teach no biting. I'm a teacher no bites.
It's so funny because
I have scratches all up my arms.
I grew up in the country, so my experience with dogs has been very much like you have them outside and they just are psychos until they're old and then they're not psychos anymore. But when the dog is inside because you're a city person, you have to deal with it.
Well, yeah. And look, to be honest with you, it was just very overwhelming for a while there. And I think that doesn't matter, like all the research that you do. And I was so ready for the pup. It was just very overwhelming. When you don't sleep well for 4 days in a row, like if you're only getting very broken sleep and around about 5 hours a night of very broken sleep, by the time you hit day four, there is a part of you that goes a bit insane. Like I was going genuinely insane. On day four, all I ate were two sleeves of saladas and a litre of pineapple juice the entire day. I ate nothing else. And then I got to the end of the day and was just like, I wasn't computing. I was completely lost. But now he sleeps from 9 p.m. till 7 a.m. every day and he's walking very well and he's so loving and he's so happy and I've got such a wonderful puppy. I want to make that very clear that I love my dog.
It's okay.
He bites Zach.
Halfway through this, I became aware that two of our very few listeners, two friends of mine that listen to the podcast, which is crazy.
Who's this?
Like actual friends. One is called CK, the other is called Jacinta.
Okay.
And they're good friends of mine, but you don't know them. Not all my friends are your friends.
I'm not going to say I'm not going to lie, when you said those names, I was like, I don't know those cunts.
Like I have a life outside of people you know, Mish, but very good friends. And they it's funny because
they're not very good friends. I've never even heard of them.
They are very good friends.
I have actually heard of you mentioned CK.
The trivia people.
I know. With them, I don't like them because I wanted you to be part of my trivia group, but you weren't. You refused to be part of my trivia group because you had really good friends in another trivia group that asked you first.
On the other side of the city, I was like, I don't want to be a part of this. So trivia group. I already hang out with you. Doing podcasts, plays, making theatre, and you're like, and now let's do trivia. I'm like, no.
No. Enough of you.
And also I will say most trivia is really bad.
Yes.
Most trivia is really, really bad. It's really bad. It's very like what this bar needs is no music and a man asking questions and then handing pieces of paper to other people and then reading out the answers. And it's often very bad, and I don't think trivia is fun.
The worst thing is when you are at a pub not participating in trivia, but you've gone there on a trivia night.
Oh.
Oh, my God. That's, if hell exists, that is what I'm doing in hell for the rest of eternity, is sitting in a pub not participating in trivia while drunk cunts aged between 19 and, oh, let's be honest, all the way up to 55, drunk cunts participate in trivia around me.
I love trivia.
Same, love that.
I love trivia. I'm just saying most trivia is bad.
Yes.
And unless you know, unless you've got a, unless, like my trivia friends, we got a good trivia, we go to a good trivia, we do good trivia. But I'm not like, I've already got a working relationship with you. I don't then need to spend the next 6 years trying to find good trivia.
I get it.
Hey, there's a guy in Northcote. Maybe that'll be good. Yeah, you guys would be like, hey, we're going to try this one in Northcote. And it'd be like, how was it? Like all the other ones.
It's true. It's true. My friends and I did like trivia hop for a while there. But we won all the time. We won a lot of beers.
Yeah, that's good. I'm really proud of you.
We did win a lot of beers.
So CK and Jacinta just had a child, a beautiful child. And I was just like, I don't want to continue talking about how hard it is to have a dog, because like I know that there are people who are like, shut up.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But also like, fuck off with that.
Are you telling my friend CK Jacinta to fuck off?
I'm really angry at Jacinta because she stole you for trivia. So Jacinta and I have beef anyway. So if you're listening, Jacinta, and apparently you
they are. Can you believe it? I don't think of look, I got to be honest with you. When you do podcasts, it becomes like my own partner. Your partner listens.
I think he might have stopped.
You've hit the 8 month mark.
Yeah, well, he stopped.
He doesn't have to listen. Like Annie, like openly, comfortably says, I've never listened to an episode of your podcast. Why would I do that?
Yeah. I don't think any of my friends listen to this podcast.
This is not the idea of a podcast is so you put some people in your ears and pretend to be friends with them. It's an hour of pretending to be friends with two people. Why would you do that with real friends?
Oh, like, for example, sorry to bring them up, but the Auntie Donna podcast. I only ever listen when you have Hot Department on. Like that's because it's just a bit weird to listen to my friends.
And also it's just like, podcasts. I know you're not that fun.
No, I know. I will say.
I know you're not that fun.
I do listen to Confessions of the Idiots. I do listen to that podcast. I really enjoy that podcast.
I listen to
and that's my friend
Podcast
Sammy P.
The Ride. And I've never met any of them. And then I was going to reach out and ask if I could be on it during the promotion, and I didn't because I got too nervous.
No, I reckon they could take you on it.
Yeah, I'd love it. I could talk about, but I'd be so nervous. I'd be like, I would go, I don't know, what would I talk about?
And for a long car drive, I do enjoy a do-go-on episode.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough plugging of our friends who are more successful than us. Can you please tell our Leguizamarama listener what it is that we are talking about today?
Before that.
Oh, God, yeah, all right.
Do you want to just talk about, like, I know we've put an ad at the front of this.
Oh, yeah.
But do you want to talk about the Lido screenings?
Yeah, this will come out. Yeah, let's talk about the Lido screenings. That's really cool. That's
when does this come out? This comes out this week, yeah? Like, yeah. When did we record this? Earlier this week?
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got the Lido screenings. You may be listening to this in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to date this, but are you excited for the Lido screenings, Mish?
I'm really excited for the Lido screenings. So the whole Lido thing happened quite quickly from our end, like, and then all of a sudden it was just we launched,
we announced it,
and then it was, and I was like, oh my God, this is so fucking cool. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, because maybe you're just American Ultra fans.
It's not how podcast listenership works.
Zach and I, as part of Leguizamarama, will be doing screenings of John Leguizamo films at Lido on February 12th, 19th and 26th, being Super Mario Brothers, Romeo and Juliet and John Wick. and we'll be there at the start of the movies to do a little bit of an interactive chat with everybody.
We don't know. We'll be real. We don't know how we're going to fill that half hour.
But it's going to be fun to figure it out.
We've talked about trivia. We're going to do, like, I got a lot of opinions on trivia, but mm-hmm. I think we can bring some good trivia. We'll ask questions like, where did John Leguizamo grow up?
Yeah.
And people will go, it's New York. We'll and go, then it's close enough. Have some popcorn.
But yeah, it's like I'm genuinely so excited to do it. More so than anything, I'm just really excited to see those three movies on the big screen.
Particularly Romeo and Juliet for me.
Super Mario Bros. For me.
The slide scene in... this is the thing. I haven't seen Super Mario Bros. At normal speed since I was a kid. I haven't seen Super Mario Bros.
Well, see, I have seen Romeo and Juliet on the big screen, but I haven't seen Romeo and Juliet in about 10 years. Probably longer, actually, and I fucking love that movie, so I'm so excited to see that again. Super Mario Brothers, obviously I'd never seen that on the big screen, and fuck, it's cool that Super Mario Brothers, the movie, is being played on the big screen.
Not many people would have seen it on the big screen.
Yeah, and John Wick's iconic. Like, that's going to be fucking incredible on the big screen.
It's great.
See fucking Alfie Allen running around with a little Russian accent.
Yeah, Alfie Allen. We talked about this.
Yeah, we've done John Wick.
I wonder if Michelle feel free to wants go to back come along. And yeah, go back, have a listen.
Let's ask our friend if she wants to do something for us for free.
No, I was just if she's there. I wonder if she wants to come. Maybe throw a free tiki.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the movie we've said we're going to talk about?
Oh, not really.
All right,
okay, I want a premise before we start. Oh, no, you might as well do that. No, I'm
just
saying.
No, you can premise. Do a premise.
I feel really bad because there's been quite a few. Oh, a good handful of the movies we've done on Leguizamarama. I've been like, this movie sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there have been a couple. There's been a couple. This movie sucks.
I think we're slipping into bad habits. I love this notion of what can we learn, what can we do. Let's take a positive torch onto X film, right? What, like, do we have to talk about it in a negative light? It's easier to shit on it. It's more fun to shit on it. This is a fine movie in terms of everything but the script. Anyway, let me do my blurb.
Okay.
Mike Howell... I say it's a fine. It's, anyway, Mike Howell, a dead shit drug addict played by the very miscast Jesse Eisenberg, discovers that he has been part of a high-profile CIA project that arms him with special kung fu powers. After a very miscast Topher Grace, a pen-pushing baddie at the CIA with seemingly no oversight, sends a bunch of baddies after him, he must use his newly discovered skills to protect himself and his girlfriend, played by Kristen Stewart, who at first seems well-cast enough until a twist halfway through the plot reveals her to be the most miscast of all the actors. John Leguizamo plays a drug dealer and is really good at it as always, but also, I don't know. and then I wrote more, but I don't think we need to. I was like, it's directed well enough. All the actors do a very solid job in a second year of acting school miscast in order to push and challenge them sort of way. The cinematography is solid, as is the effects and everything else. The fault all lies at the writer Max Landis's feet, and he got properly cancelled, so I can say that. He's bad at writing and has never written a good film as far as I can tell, and I'm allowed to say that.
You are allowed to say that. So just very, very quickly going back to what we said before you did your intro. When I say this movie sucks, what I mean is I, Mish, don't enjoy this kind of film. So I'm not saying it's necessarily a commentary on the acting or the writing. The writing sucked. I can say that.
We're allowed to say that.
We're allowed to say that.
We'd be bad to not say that because he got cancelled.
Yeah. The writing sucks. But in terms of like what I find enjoyable in a film, this is everything. Not everything I don't like in a film, but I was bored. I don't know. And I feel like I want to like come in to this podcast studio and be like, that movie fucking sick. And I've got high hopes for next week.
That's the thing, you're always coming in with high hopes.
No, I did never had high hopes for American Ultra.
I did, because I remember when I worked at the cinema, there were trailers for it, and I was expecting kind of a Pineapple Express vibe.
Me too.
I was kind of expecting these characters thrown into something.
Yeah.
And there's something nice about that. Like it's you know, this idea of like what will a like it's an action world, but a character thrown into it. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that. It was.
It was kind of this weird Sucker Punch meets Superbad kind of vibe. Have you ever seen Sucker Punch? Okay, so it had the way you feel after watching Sucker Punch is the same way you feel after watching American Ultra.
Do you know?
But with all the shit things about Superbad, and there's a lot of things I like about the movie Superbad. Bill Hader, for example, is like one of my.
I like Superbad. You're not a fan of
Superbad? No, I'm a big fan of Superbad. I don't think it's aged necessarily very well.
No,
but no, I'm a
but
big,
I haven't watched it since
big fan. Superbad is very funny, but it's got Bill Hader in it, and Bill Hader is like everything to me. Mm. So, this movie just kind of was like. I just think it could have been so much better, and I was just a bit bored.
Do you want to hear my criticism? I said it to my friends earlier today.
These friends that I know? Or?
Yeah, it was Auntie Donna.
Oh, okay.
So I was saying that I don't want to shit on movies, but whatever. So there was Max Landers. I think he's the kind of cunt that would listen to this podcast.
Well, yeah, what else has he got to do? He's not working.
Oh. Anyway. This film, he also did Bright,
mm-hmm.
And he also did just other films like that.
Definitely before you hear us criticise Max Landis. And
Google him.
Google him before you, just so you're not like, you guys are being real mean.
Google him.
Here's a fun fact. He's a bit mean too, isn't he? So
anyway, I don't want to be, you know, that is what it is, and it's a, like I don't want to make light of that. So that's over there. Anyway,
also he is shaped like a cylinder. His head is the same width as his shoulders, is the same width as his hips. I'm just looking at pictures of him right now. He's shaped like a cylinder.
That's a good or a noodle.
Yeah, sure.
So he does movies where he. I've got to paint a picture for you, mm-hmm. Mish. You know movies where you watch it and you would have gone, I see how that would have pitched well.
Yes.
I see how the pitch would have been good, right?
Yes.
And you go, but structurally there was never enough meat on those bones.
Yes.
It's too
like Vanishing on 7th Street.
Yeah, like I see how that pitched well, right?
Mm-hmm.
He makes that sort of movie where you go, I see, but also the pitch is shit. And you're it's like the problems of a movie that pitched well, but also how did he get it made? Because the pit. Anyway, look, enough shit. I don't want to shit. You can shit on it.
John Leguizamo has a fucking cool jacket.
John is great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Always.
Do you know what? Also, what I would say, great cast, just largely all miscast. Oh, no, yeah, we were talking. The cast has all been in better things.
I think as soon as you put Jesse Eisenberg in a movie,
yes.
You're getting a Jesse Eisenberg movie.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So, yes. Like, you, Jesse yes. Eisenberg.
Yes.
Yes. You get what I'm saying. Yes. Like, as soon as you put him in a film, you're not making a film that has him in it. You are making a Jesse Eisenberg film. They're all of the same colour and the same taste, and it works sometimes. Like that Social Network film.
Worked in Social Network. Worked in Squid and the Whale.
Not seen that.
it worked in that.
Okay.
I think that Jesse Eisenberg, I put in a you can't just pop him in a movie.
You can't just pop him in a movie. 100%.
He does what he does.
Yes. And he does it better than anyone else.
Sure. He does what he does.
No, Jesse Eisenberg does the best Jesse Eisenberg.
Have you seen Bill Hader's? No. Yes, yeah. Jesse Eisenberg does a very good Jesse Eisenberg, right? He does what he does. But you can't just pop him in a movie.
100%.
He's a bit like, there are other actors I think that are like that.
But I would argue as well that for different reasons, Kristen Stewart is the same way. Now, I like Kristen Stewart. I actually really do.
Yeah.
I think she's fucking cool. I would like to be Kristen Stewart's friend. But I will say this, Kristen Stewart in this movie, it's just Bella with a bong.
Yeah.
It's Bella from Twilight, like just a bit stoned.
But this is the thing about Kristen Stewart, right? I put Kristen Stewart more in the Nicole Kidman category of like Hollywood casting people, her people tried to stretch past what it is that she does. But if she's cast well, I think she's really very good.
I wouldn't compare her to Nicole Kidman.
No, but in the sense that when she is playing what she does.
Like what? That's not a challenge. I'm just.
I think she's nice to watch.
Yeah, I agree with
you. She's nice to watch. She's likable. She's a good film actor.
Yeah.
Winona Ryder is a great example. She's got a certain energy, right? You could put Kristen Stewart in a Girl Interrupted type film.
Absolutely.
And she would be very good in it, yes. I think. And you'd enjoy her and you'd like to watch her. But it has to be the sort of character she would play.
Yes.
There are certain actors.
Cameron Diaz is fucking phenomenal at that role. Not the role in American Ultra. I'm talking at the
goofy,
role. Yeah, goofy. Yeah.
Goofy.
Goofy but smart.
Yeah, kind of like a bit. Yeah, like doopy doo.
Yeah. But to me, is the best at that. Cameron Diaz is one of the best at that. And I've yet, like, and when you cast her as that, you've got a stellar film on your hands.
Yeah.
Don't put her in The Counselor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, when I do not think there is anyone better at, like,
neurotic.
Well, like uptight, holding it in. I think I've said this in earlier podcasts.
Oh, and I agree with you completely.
Like, she is wonderful. You get her to play
Bewitched.
Bewitched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really. You know, there's so many people like that. Like, I think that there's this expectation that an actor should be able to play anyone. But
do you remember when Nicole Kidman did that song with Robbie Williams?
Yes, I do.
That was weird.
Then I go and ruin it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
I can see it in your eyes. It's still the same for the night before.
There's always like this weird patch in every like actress's career where they release a single.
I think she did it just after Moulin Rouge.
Gwyneth Paltrow did the same thing.
With duet. Have you ever seen duets? No. Oh my God. Everyone, stop what you're doing.
Gwyneth Paltrow is also a great example of what we're talking about.
Yes, she now has a show about putting things up your vagina.
Yeah.
Mm. Everyone, stop what you're doing. Go and watch duets. It is such a bad film. John's not in it, but he could have been.
Do you know another actor I want to throw out there for this list? I just want to keep throwing in actors.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Great actor.
Great actor. But a great example of if that character is not
John
muscular
Proctor.
And intense.
Yeah.
Even he does a soft Abraham Lincoln.
He did Abraham Lincoln well.
But that's still a man who commands, he takes up the room. Yeah. That's what he plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Nine?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I'm a little man who makes a cult. Yes. I make a cult for my beautiful Nicole Kidman, who is Italian.
So who do you think then, just throwing one or two names in the ring, can play multiple characters?
Not many people.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that it's one of the great misconceptions of acting is that it is the job of an actor to inhabit many different worlds. It's like, no, I think an actor, it's the job of a casting director to cast good people.
It is why I like John Leguizamo so much. It's one of the reasons why I like him, is because he is very good at most things.
He is. He is.
Yeah.
But he's best at John Leguizamo.
Yes.
he's best at doing John.
I'm going to throw a name out there.
Okay. Cool.
I've had a big crush. I have a bit of a crush on this guy. Mm. I do have a bit of, I was about to say I have a big crush, not a big one. Bill Hader, big. This guy, not so big. But I think he can play almost anything, and it's John Goodman.
Yeah.
Think about it. John Goodman can do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman can do drama. He can be your fun-loving dad that you feel a bit sorry for. He can be a villain. Like, I honestly think John Goodman is one of those actors that could be any role. And has probably been denied that based on how he looks, although it's probably not so much a problem because he's a man. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, he really can play. Like, think of him in Coyote Ugly. He's the soft, loving dad in Coyote Ugly. But then you think of him in
Roseanne.
He's the soft, loving dad. But then you think of him in, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And he's that villainous, hard character. He's been a Blues Brother, which I think he did very well, although not the original Blues Brother. I think he did a very, very good job. He's the voice of that dude in Monsters, Inc., as well as The Emperor's New Groove. John Goodman, man, I'm telling you, I think he's one to watch.
One to watch.
No, I've always loved watching him.
I honestly can't think of actors that are truly, truly great.
It can't just be John Goodman, though.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah. Like, because Meryl Streep, to a degree, but Meryl Streep does Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, I think, now is just kind of like, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't think that Meryl, like, I could imagine when Meryl got Sophie's Choice, she was like, there was a lot of work and there was a lot put into that, and you can see how fucking amazing she is in that film. I think now Meryl Streep's just like, I got this, it's fine.
I guess the question is, who's the sort of actor where you don't realise they've been in multiple films? Like, you don't.
John Leguizamo.
You don't. Yeah, that's true. But, like, who's the sort of actor that, like, they morph for the part?
William H. Macy?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's good.
He's good. I'm saying that good actors kind of bring it to themselves.
Yeah, I'm now just kind of listing good actors.
Yeah, like William H. Macy is William H. Macy. He's always like, hey, I'm William H. Macy.
Yeah. How you going?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bill Hader kind of throws
him
around a bit.
I've always loved Bill, truth, but there's just something about during lockdown I just kind of got really, I've got a big crush on him. Yeah. And I think I've had a couple of celebrity crushes in my life, starting at the age of 12 with Seth Green. Mm-hmm. Started with him. Then it kind of merged into this Noel Fielding thing kind of through my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of in my 30s thought, I'll never have one of those again. But I think it might be Bill Hader.
Good choice. Love
really
Bill
good
Hader.
Choice. I've honestly got a crush on him.
Yeah, I love Bill Hader. I'm struggling right now to think of any actor that is properly transformative, like properly changes their voice, properly changes their build. I would love maybe people
Christian
to...
Bale?
No, he's always... Christian Bale.
You reckon?
He's always, there's always a, do you know?
And the Oscar goes to.
Do you know someone who I think actually I really would give a lot of credit to is Joaquin Phoenix?
Yep. Well, he did that whole thing where he was to promote a film where he pretended he was losing his mind.
Yeah.
And the world believed him. He's like, oh, God, fuck, all right.
I watched Gladiator the other day.
Oh, good movie.
He is so good in that, and he's so different in that. To walk the line, to Joker, to like...
Has he done comedy?
I'm not even talking about like comedy drama. I'm talking more about like, this is the part, so I'm going to bring the part to me. I'm going to go to the part. And not just physically... Because like Christian Bale loses all the weight, but he's still Christian Bale.
Mm.
Whereas like Joaquin Phoenix...
Meryl Streep is a good example. I know that's a really standard one to go to, but that really is a very good example. If you take Sophie's Choice, then you take The Devil's Wears Prada, and then you take, I don't know, some other bullshit she's been in, like... they're like, she's very good.
Yeah, I know there's like, I'm going to just think of them halfway through this podcast and or like in a week and just go, ugh. There are actors that do it. There
we'll
are
ask
actors
on the
that
gram.
Change the, yeah, we'll ask on the gram. But there are actors that like change their voice.
And it's not Jesse Eisenberg.
The what we will say unequivocally is it's not Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
It's not Topher Grace and it's not fucking Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart, yeah. I will say, going back to American Ultra, one of the things I didn't like about this film, and this isn't like a universal opinion, by the way. Mm-hmm. This is just what I like in a film. If you turned around and you said, I liked American Ultra, I wouldn't be like, well, you don't have any fucking taste. It just means we like different films. To me.
Look, I would have to dig a little deeper, though. If someone was like, I liked American Ultra, and they saw it recently.
Yeah.
I also can't get past it. Like, anyway, I'll talk. You go.
To me, this film was the same scene over and over and over again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
It was just a lot of Jesse Eisenberg being a bit confused while people shot at him and then him killing those people. That's the literally back-to-back scenes of that.
Here's what I'm going to say, right? I'm a big wanker.
Yes.
When you get me talking about a film, I start a-stroking.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm a big old wanker, right?
Yep.
I love a film that tries to touch on something bigger than itself. I love themes. I love ideas. I love, right? I'm so okay with a movie that's not easy to watch, but it gives me something.
Yeah.
You know, right? I also love, like, entertainment. Yeah. I watched Wonder Woman 1984. Loved it. I just had a great time.
Yeah.
Right? One of my favorite movies of all time is Fast and the Furious 7, right? But then on the flip side, I love, like, Last Black Man in San Francisco is one of my favorite movies that I've seen in the last decade, right?
Yeah.
I love it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm not a fan of, and The Counselor fell into a similar category, what I'm not a fan of is a movie that is laborious in its self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. That is about nothing.
Yes.
What pisses me off, the one thing that pisses me off is where I have to sit through masturbation and I don't get a thematic ejaculation. And that's what this movie was. This movie was so full of itself.
Yeah.
Like a 15-year-old's fucking, like a 15-year-old that has watched one Quentin Tarantino film. It was so, like, laborious in
That's
its...
That's exactly what it was like.
It was so laborious was so, in its points.
Oh, Zach, that was so good. Like a 15-year-old that's watched one Quentin Tarantino
film. It's
like a fucking first-year uni student doing arts talking about the Vietnam War when they read the wiki page.
It's the sort of movie where the movie is shorter than the conversation people would have fucking found themselves trapped in with the writer about what the movie was saying. Like, yeah. I was trying to do this and this and this. It's like, shut up.
Imagine being trapped into anything with that writer as well. Zing!
Cunt.
Anyway.
It was like... It's the Shakespeare quote about life, but
yes.
Like the full of sound of fury signifying nothing.
Yes,
it's so, there's a scene in it where he says like a lot, right? He says the character says like a lot
in American Ultra.
American Ultra, Jesse Eisenberg's character says like a lot, and there's one scene where he's talking where he says like heaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a labored awkwardness, which is not, it is not, I believe in my heart, it is not Jesse Eisenberg riffing around writing and adding likes, which happens.
Mm.
I believe it's Max Landis going, I wanted to do a monologue where people talk, like people actually talk. So they say like a lot. It's like, can't fucking whatever. He goes, oh, I'm like a tree. I'm like a tree and you're like a car and you're moving and it's still. And it's like, all right, fucking sick, man. That's so good. That's so good. And there's so much.
That's clever, though. That's clever, though.
Oh, man. So, Mish, we try to not tell each other. In theory, we try to tell each other not what we thought about the movie. But 9 times out of 10, Mish watches it before me. And 8 times out of 10, I get a, this
movie's
shit.
9 times out of 10 as well. Really?
9 times out of 10, I get a, oh, this one's shit.
Yeah.
And I always try to, like, block that out so I can disagree with her. And it's really, really funny because this movie, I sat down and I started watching. I didn't know anything about it other than I didn't mind the cast, and John Leguizamo was in it, and I remember liking the trailer. And I sat down to watch it, and I thought the opening was really interesting. It's like,
yeah, for sure.
Flashy images. It's like, I was like, oh, this is kind of very competently directed, really well shot. I actually think I'm going to disagree with Mish here. And then in the opening credits, I saw that Max Landis directed the wrote the film, and I was like, ah. Oh, that name's familiar. Ah. Oh. And then I was like, well, separate the art from the artist. So long as there's not like a whole bunch of protracted scenes of women getting the shit beaten out of them, I should be able to get through this film. And then there was, and it was rough. And it's very hard. It's very hard to get past.
Yes.
It's very hard to get past. Like, it is a movie about a dead shit cunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with the woman who is too good for him apologizing.
Yes.
For not being a better partner. And then they get together. Sorry to spoilers, but like that's the movie. And it's like,
yeah.
Considering.
And there's no amount of big angry men shooting at Jesse Eisenberg that can hide the fact that that is literally the through line of this film.
Is it dead shit? With a girlfriend who is too good for him.
100% too good. Can we just 100% she's too good for him.
And then the turning point of the film is her apologising to him.
Mm.
And I try very hard to separate artists from art. I don't want to, like, do that. I don't think that's, like, I try, but it's, like, that's hard with this one because that plot is shit.
Yes.
And also, I don't believe Jesse Eisenberg is a dead shit. He's not a dead shit.
No.
He's too intense.
Yes, I agree. I don't think. Who do you think would have been a better cast?
Okay, so a rewrite. So first of all, there's been a rewrite. It's the same structure of, you know.
Yes.
I think just like a Seth Rogen.
Right.
Just someone.
A James Franco.
Like just someone. Because there's an intense sort of like. Because. And there's, like, self-hatred in this. But, like, because Jesse Eisenberg is so intense, because he's so, like, driven in his intensity and he has these dumb ideas that he talks about and then his hot girlfriend is like, you're so smart. But because he's so intense, right, he doesn't come off as a dead shit. He comes off as a prick.
Yes.
It's like.
Like I said, Jesse Eisenberg, just like Mark Zuckerberg was a prick. Just like every other character Jesse Eisenberg's played as a prick. Like, that's what Jesse Eisenberg does.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not.
But, like.
I felt. That's the thing. I always know in a film, especially an action film that involves a gun, I know when I get to a point in the film where I don't care who dies. That's where I got to in this film. It's like, kill them all then.
Just kill them all.
Maybe not her. Kristen Stewart can live. But the rest of you, I hope you all. Just, I hope you all die in this film.
Yeah,
and that's when
I could care less.
Yeah, I could care less, and that's an awful feeling to have when you're in a film and you're meant to be invested in at least one of the characters. Like,
yeah,
and I had no invest. I was like, I hope Kristen gets out of there, but the rest of you guys, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care how you die, when in this film you die. John Leguizamo dies in this film, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. That upset me because I'm like, well, fuck, now we don't have more John content for the podcast. But even still, I was like, he can die. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was also just a.
It was dumb.
It was just like, just a lot of like, oh, it like fucking get good at writing.
Yeah.
Before you start writing just shit like. Like, I'm going to write a Latino character that says the N-word a lot.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Just, like, don't. Or be so good at writing that, like, you know, no one can come for you. But, like, this movie is so, like, it's a very arrogant film.
Yes.
So I think I would have liked the movie more with, like, a Seth Rogen, in the sense that, like, I would love if the character had a bit more of a not realized potential.
Like a Seth Rogen film.
I see why they're with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Seth Rogen, you can dig into the politics of that.
Yeah.
But at least there's like a, but he's nice and he's kind and he's warm and he's likable. In terms of her, who would you cast instead of Kristen Stewart in this film?
Oh, God, who would I cast instead of Kristen Stewart? Someone funny, I think it probably would have been good, like a Mindy Sterling type.
Oh, hello.
That would have been fun to see Mindy like that. Who else could I have cast in this film? I wouldn't want to put it on any woman.
That's such a shit.
Yeah, it's like it's a horrible, like, yeah, it's a shit part. Like, I wouldn't want to put, so sorry, Mindy.
No,
like,
but in this scenario, right, mm-hmm. You've fired Max Landis.
Okay.
Because there was some delays in production, and then you were in pre-production circa 2000 and Me Too, and you fire Max Landis, you bring in a female writer who does a full-scale rewrite.
Okay, great.
It stops being from the perspective so much of the Max Landis character.
Yep.
And it's a much more equal story about should they stay together, whether it puts weight on whether she should be with this deadbeat, why she should be with this deadbeat.
Yep.
Maybe the ending's completely different. So it's that plot, that's the character now. She's better written, it's complex.
Okay.
You cast.
Oh, God, no, shit, shit it. Oh, God, okay, so with the added complexities and a good script.
And I will say the twist we talk about for clarity, because you don't have to watch this film, is it turns out she's a CIA agent who was tasked with looking after him, and then she fell in love. So Kristen Stewart, who was all of like 21 when this film came out, was apparently a CIA agent at the age of 16 when she left the CIA.
Yeah.
So that's something I would frame it with, that twist has to work.
I'm really struggling here.
I'm just – do you know what? I think I have an idea of who I would cast.
Who would you cast?
But the issue is I'm just now saying the cast of Longshot. When I say Charlize Theron, Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah.
That energy.
Yeah, that works. That works for sure.
And then she has to save him. That's what I'd do. I'd flip it all around. I wouldn't do this movie. Who would you cast in Topher Grace's
part? Oh, God, Topher Grace's part. Bill Hader.
Yeah, love it.
Fuck, yeah.
Let's make this movie.
Yeah, for sure. Scarlett Johansson would be very good in the Kristen Stewart role.
Yeah, great.
Mm.
Great, love that.
Yeah. That's my answer.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Love it.
What would your Leguistamo rating be?
Oh, fuck. He's in it a bit. Not enough, but good. Like the more time he would have been in it, the more it would have tainted him.
Mm-hmm.
He's fun. He has fun. He had fun. I think he would have had a fun shoot. He would have been like, yeah, why not?
2 days.
Yeah,
2 days. Maybe 3. On a movie like this, probably a bit longer.
Probably 2 Leguistamos.
Mm. Yeah. That's my score too.
Yeah, not 2 stars.
He gets a whole Leguistamo for that jacket.
Yeah, and like he has fun.
Mm.
It's kind of a bit like a character he would play in a one-man show. Not like the core. It's like, and then this guy.
His one-man shows would be better written, though. He'd have better dialogue to work with. But we have seen, what we can say about John is we have seen him do some bad dialogue and he does it well. And this was just another example of, well, he got some shitty dialogue, but he got through it. He paid his kids' tuition. Good for you, John.
Good for you, John.
Like, pretty much.
Bit of fun. I just want, John's, what's its name? We need our, what did we call it? Hashtag John. Legwolution.
We need a
Legwolution.
Yes, we need a Legwolution. We do. We do need a Legwolution. It's coming with the help of Leguizamarama.
Can we get...
He stopped sharing our stuff.
Do you reckon he got over it?
Maybe.
Or do you reckon he listened and wasn't a fan?
I don't think it was that he listened. No. Maybe.
John, if you're listening, we're sorry.
We're so sorry.
When we get mad at movies that you're in that aren't that good, it's because you deserve Leonardo DiCaprio's career.
100%. And also, did you get to keep the jacket from this film?
Because... Those are my two questions to you. No, we've got one question and one statement. The question is, did you get to keep the jacket? The statement is, in a world, in a better world, there after Romeo and Juliet, you should have gotten Leonardo DiCaprio's career.
Yep.
Leonardo DiCaprio should have played Jesse Eisenberg's drug dealer and you should have played Wolf of Wall Street.
Too fucking... Oh, my God, how good would he have been in Wolf of Wall Street?
That's what I'm saying. I said by this wholeheartedly, my alternative reality is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Everything's the same. I'll take everything. I'll take COVID. I'll take the downfall of the American Empire.
But you are in Wolf of Wall Street.
But we just swap your career with Leo's.
Oh, so good. Also, John, if you're listening, have you heard about Lido?
Lido?
That's pretty sick.
That calls the Lido
Like, I don't know if you know this, John, but you've made it to Hawthorne in Melbourne. Do you know that? Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, all the way down under in Hawthorne.
Are you excited to do a show? Like I'm curious to the big. I mean, there's going to be a big reveal when people come to this show. People are going to come to the show and be like, "Oh, they were joking about four. There's dozens of us."
Yeah,
they're going to look around and go, "There's dozens of us.
Double figures.
This is double. They said three or four listeners, but I see at least double figures worth of people."
Surprise. All right, I have a review. This one came through on Instagram DM, which we love. Thank you so much. However, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, please. Thank you. But we do still love these reviews. This is from...
I don't read the DMs. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But I'm glad Mish is responding.
You do read some of the DMs.
Do I?
Yeah, absolutely you do. I see that you reply to them sometimes. You fuck with my algorithm.
What do you mean?
We'll talk about it later. Okay, so this is from Apostrophe Wife, and it says, "Hi, Zach the Legs and Mish the Armorama. I'm desperately trying to catch up with your excellent podcast, which I love. Since starting mid-December, I'm up to Ice Age 2, but I wanted to contact you now to say that not only can I empathize with Mish's Jared Leto and Jay Leno father-son confusion, I thought... they were the same person until I Google searched about 1 year ago.
Okay.
I thought it was Jay Leto, as in Jay for Jared. And I thought it was weird that he left talk show hosting to do acting. And I thought the reason he looked so different in pictures was because he did Andy Serkis type stuff. I don't know who Andy Serkis is.
I think they're fucking with you.
Really?
He's the gorilla in Planet of the Gorillas, and he's also Gollum in Gollum and the
Frodo. Oh, are they? I thought this was – I was going to do like a whole show. Ha ha, Zach.
I think they're fucking with you.
No.
Are you serious?
Have I just read out something to embarrass myself?
No, I think they're riffing. I think it's very funny, but I think they're fucking with you.
Oh, okay. Well, very well done. Like, you got me.
Because what they're saying is they thought that the very attractive rock star Jared Leto got into a mocap suit in the late 80s and hosted late night television for 10 years.
Oh.
But maybe they're not. Maybe they're not,
and in which case I'm sorry Zach was just embarrassed you like that.
No, look
and
honestly,
I stand by it. I genuinely thought the Jay Leno's son was Jared Leto. I just did. And yeah. I'm standing by it. So
no,
fuck.
That's fine. You know what? I've never made a mistake in my life.
Oh, fuck off.
No, I'm just joking. I can't think of anything, but I've done lots of ones like that. That's good. No, that was a good one.
Thanks.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. It was a very good one.
The idea of Jared Leto. Jared Leto is a funny guy. What are your thoughts on Jared Leto?
Oh, God. Where do I begin?
Where do I begin? Hey, Mish, thank you so much for joining me on this journey.
Zach, thank you for doing this podcast with me.
Thank you. I've had a really lovely time, you know, just finding our feet again, feeling the vibes. We chat on that movie more than we normally would.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Maybe we've just got some angry puppy energy.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we need to get... And also, you know what? Like, I think it's a very admirable thing to try not to just do the shitting on movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think that I love that genre. I watch it, listen to it often. But from time to time, a movie comes along that's written by a grub. And it's like, well, I can't say it was good.
Yeah. And luckily, in this case, it's not like it was cinematic brilliance.
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was a bad movie.
So fuck you, Max Landis. And on that happy note, have a wonderful week, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.